Or afternoon.
Or evening, depending on when you listen to this.
I'm Heather, he's Virg, and we are new old friends.
We are, and this is day 12. A dozen daily dispatches for dastardly detectively doings delivered.
You love alliteration, don't you, Virg?
Love alliteration? Maybe a little.
Speaking of love, Artridge is now working with Inspector Aralby to solve the murder of Daisy Love.
I know, and the newest new old friend is very sad about it. Now, having been hired by his club chairman, Eldridge Rawlins, to look into a jewel heist, things have taken a sinister turn.
Have they turned left?
What?
Sinister means left in Latin.
Very good.
Nof quiz.
Hashtag Nof quiz question 12.
What is the first and last name of Macaulay Culkin's character in Home Alone?
I know.
Don't tell them your name, Pike.
Oi, let's carry on with crimes, clues and Christmas.
Ding ding.
Crimes, Clues and Christmas, Chapter 12.
Next morning, when I opened my eyes, I rather wished I hadn't. As soon as consciousness returned, it brought with it a horrendous headache accompanied by a nausea which was surely a portent of death. Obviously, at some point in the preceding evening, I'd been subjected to some sort of nerve agent or other chemical warfare. Perhaps in the cheeky wee cocktail place O'Ralby had taken me to after we'd had 4 or 5 pints of Jimmy McMickle's muck washed down with double single malts. Or perhaps I'd been struck down as the inspector and I had sat on a bench with a bottle of some clear spirit each, which we'd liberated from said cheeky wee cocktail place as the staff forcefully ushered us out. Wherever I'd contracted this heinous virus, it was doing a number on me. I think the worst symptom was the incessant ringing in my ears. Ring, 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 ring. Oh, it's the phone. Hello, Arthur Petridge. Invest Artigator Esquire speaking. Oh dear God, my mouth was so dry. Dry! Dry martinis! We'd had dry martinis at the cheeky wee cocktail place.
Good morning, Artridge. You're not quite back at the races yet?
Sang a chipper voice down the line.
Come on, lad, up and at 'em. We've a big day today.
Inspector O'Ralby? He obviously hadn't been exposed to the same pathogen that I had, or he wouldn't be shouting so much.
Don't you feel unwell? I think I'm going to expire.
Ah, come on. Last night was good crack, but cases are cracked early if they're cracked at all, so we should crack on and get cracking. I'll see you at the theatre in half an hour.
My insides are launching an all-out revolt for freedom, O'Ralby. I'll not make it to the theatre in 30 minutes.
An hour, then. But no later, or I'll just have to get on with it on my own, you great English lightweight.
He rung off. His parting shot galvanised the old Archer's resolve. I was letting the side down, and I wasn't about to let some jumped-up Irish so-and-so get one over on me like that. He'd probably been switching his drinks out for water and sneaking extra measures into mine as part of some subtle power play. Well, I'd show him. I'd be at that theatre, ready and waiting in 30 minutes. I jumped up, out of bed to shower. At which point, the world experienced an unprecedented shift in the direction of gravity, throwing me first against the wall and then onto the floor, which I had to hang on to jolly hard to stop it from spinning away. Maybe I would make use of the full hour after all. Once I'd wrestled the laws of physics back into compliance and struggled to the bathroom to stand underneath the blissful scourge of a hot shower, my faculties slowly reorganised themselves into their familiar patterns. I was able to dress myself tolerably well. Neat grey suit, rich navy shirt with a thin silver tie, under a trusty trench coat style Macintosh, topped off with a natty grey trilby with a matching navy hat band, so that when I headed out, I at least looked like the Archer of old, even if I still felt something closer to 75% of the man I knew myself to be. Still, an Artridge operating at 3/4 is still a formidable thing at close quarters, and not a quarter will be given. Or something. I stopped at a little tea room near the theatre to grab a quick coffee, so as to give my mind a little chemical weaponry of its own for the battle raging inside my skull, and I bumped into Chasma Constance, who was sat behind a steaming cup of tea and picking at a Bakewell tart, staring at nothing very much in the middle distance. You want to be careful? You'll get a reputation being seen with tarts in the morning. I joked to open the conversation. She looked up at me, blinking her pale blue eyes rapidly.
What? Oh, the Bakewell. Funny. I just wanted the sugar.
She pushed the plate away. Oh, don't stop on my account. It was just a little joke. When I'd met Chaz the day before, she was positively fizzing with an energy that was intoxicating. But now everything about her seemed flat. Even her lovely red blonde hair hung limply either side of her face. You okay, Miss McConstance? I asked, hovering near her table. I'd made good time and had 10 minutes before I was due to meet the inspector. I had hoped to get there ahead of him and planned to be sat reading the paper somewhere near the middle to let him know I'd been waiting. But scoring a cheap point with him felt less important than cheering up Chaz.
No, I suppose I'm not really okay, Mr. Archridge. Not really okay at all.
Please, call me Peter. Do you want to talk about it?
I don't know what to say.
Could you try and describe what it is you're feeling? I offered. After the unpleasant business on Rishnishan, I'd had a bout of nerves and my doctor had suggested I try some of the gubbins Freud and his lot had developed. Saying things out loud and naming them was seen as a huge step in those circles. But equally, everything seemed to lead to a conclusion that would make family Christmases most awkward, so I'm not sure I fully buy into it. Still, it was worth the effort with Chaz.
I suppose I'm feeling shocked. Shocked that Daisy's death might not have been an accident.
Well, we don't know for definite it wasn't, I offered, trying to breathe the life back into the flame-haired force of nature I'd met yesterday.
Oh, come on, Mr. Archridge. Inspector Oralby was ready to write it up and be on his way until you and he took a look in the rig and suddenly BV and Flipper were running up ladders and we were all told to be available all today. I'm not stupid, Peter. You found something up there which has convinced you of foul play.
She looked at me so beseechingly, I couldn't lie to her. But thankfully, I didn't have to. I'm not saying we didn't find something, but it certainly doesn't mean we have definite foul play. You've no reason to be scared.
Scared? I'm not scared. I feel guilty,
she exclaimed, and quickly clamped a hand over her lips. Guilty, Ms. McConstance? About what?
I knew right from the start that Daisy had nicked the jewellery, and I should have said something straight away. Or at the very least, told you outright when you turned up. But I was enjoying playing a silly game. If I'd acted sooner, Daisy might have been arrested, and at least in a cell she'd have been safe.
Look, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you that we didn't find anything to suggest Daisy was deliberately targeted. It could still be a horrible accident, or a prank which got out of hand. But if someone was trying to hurt Daisy, then believe me, they would have found a way. Plus, I don't think Mr. Rawlins had any intention of involving the police, so you turning her in wouldn't have changed anything anyway. She looked up at me and smiled. It wasn't quite the same megawatt smile from yesterday, but it was certainly brighter than what had greeted me a few moments ago. I've got to go and meet Inspector O'Ralby now. Will you be okay here?
Yes, I think I'll finish my treat after all.
She broke off a corner of her tart and bit into it with her front teeth.
Actually, it's pretty good. Why don't you have a piece, for the road?
She offered me the rest of the chunk, which I took between my fingers and tossed into my mouth. Thank you, Miss McConstance.
Thank you, Peter. And call me Chaz. Everyone else does.
I think I should like that. I'll see you later on, Chaz. And with that I left, feeling significantly lighter in my step than when I'd arrived. It was in this buoyant mood that I walked into the foyer of the august theatre the ballet calls home with the air of a man sat at the blackjack table, holding 4 cards totalling 13, who knows that the next card is 8 or less. I saw O'Ralby loitering by the bar, chatting to the teenage girl with the weight of the world's workers on her shoulders, and strolled over and clapped him heartily on the back.
Good morning, O'Ralby. Morning, miss, I said to the serving girl, my toothy smile met with a glowering frown.
I don't think I caught your name last time we spoke.
You didn't ask,
she grunted.
No, I suppose I didn't. Next time, maybe. Black coffee, please.
You're far more chipper than you were on the phone, Archridge. Is your hangover cleared up? Inquired O'Ralby at my, admittedly rather swift, reversal in humour, and took a bite from a bacon sandwich before leading me over to the same booth I'd sat in with Michael Barrington the day before.
Hangover, Inspector? I don't know what you mean. I'm just not on my best on the phone in the mornings, that's all.
Now, where did you manage to rustle up such a fine-looking morning victuals as that?
The wee lassie there sorted it out for me. Do you know her? She seems a bit, off, somehow.
As you no doubt witness, we're hardly bosom buddies, but I'm wearing her down with the old Archridge charm. I'm sure she's a decent enough sort underneath, but I'm afraid she appears to have caught a spot of the politics. Terrible affliction, particularly in the young. But there we go, can't be helped. I'll just see if I can convince her to wrestle the means of production into making me one of those delicious bacon sandwiches too. I hopped back over to the bar.
I say, Sandra? Was it Sandra?
Not saying.
Never mind, I'll keep swinging. I don't suppose you'd mind making me a little bread bacon bread number like you have for Inspector O'Ralby, would you? There's a top girl. Thank you, Kaylee.
It's not Kaylee, you bourgeois fool.
Even though she was chucking about badinage that might lead to bandages, I could tell I was starting to make headway with her, because just the barest hint of a smile played upon the corners of her lips. Yes, Archridge was unloosed this morning and spreading his gifts munificently amongst the populace.
You're in a very good mood this morning, Archridge. A fine observation, O'Rowby. You've marked yourself out as one of the Met's finest with that deduction. I'll admit, you've got me bang to rights, Governor. No need to turn the screws any further. I shall confess it freely. I'm in a good mood. You talk an awful lot when you're in a good mood. It's been commented before, but then I also like to unburden myself of ill tidings, too. If a taciturn Archer is what you're looking for, it's best to find me at my equilibrium, neither too high nor too low. Something like, my horse has just come in by a nose, but I had considered placing a good amount more on the filly, so the sweet taste of success is slightly embittered by the fantasy of the phantom winnings I could have had, had my convictions been stronger when laying a bet. Right. Do you mind if I ask what caused this sudden upswing in your outlook? Ah, that would be telling. Come on, you're the inspector, you tell me. For a brief moment, I feared I'd overdone it with the joie d'esprit and risked spiriting away any joie d'inspector, but thankfully he rubbed his jaw ruminatively and checked his watch. Sure, we've a few minutes before our first interview, I'll give it a crack. Let's see. Last night, you were cursing your club chairman, Eldridge Rawlin, also the top man here, for hiring you without specifying your fee. You were most concerned that you were undertaking, quote, the Herculean task of shouldering the whole investigation for nary a whiff of a shilling, unquote. I remember that particularly, as I'm fairly certain there's a qualified and capable inspector from the Met leading the investigation. He fixed me with a dark look, and I thought I'd better make amends. Sorry about that, O'Rowby. Sometimes I get a bit carried away. Indeed. But I can't imagine the financial situation has been cleared up any from the time I last saw you until now. And speaking of getting carried away, while we were being helped out of that cheeky wee cocktail bar last night, you let slip something about your heart having never been stirred like the martinis they'd served until yesterday. Did I? You did. So I'm going to say that this is a romance that has put a pep in your step. How did I do? Very impressive, sir. Very impressive. I can see that my shoulders will have company in solving this case. He raised a warning finger. A joke, a joke. So, who's the lady in question? I felt like after the night we'd shared, sharing confidences with the man wouldn't do any harm. Well, I'm rather taken by Chas McConstance, truth be told. O'Rowby's face set hard. Archridge, she's a bloody suspect in the case. You can't be gallivanting with a suspect. Surely you don't seriously think that sweet Chas could be involved? Of course I do. From what we've learned so far, she's pretty damn high on the list. She's also our first interview. I won't brook any funny business. You understand? Do you remember me saying I felt like a chap with a potentially winning hand at blackjack who was certain the next card was an 8 or lower? I felt like I'd just been hit with a 9, and suddenly my hangover returned with full force. Crimes, Clues and Christmas is a New Old Friends production, part of the Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears podcast series. Written and performed by Fergus Woods-Dunlop and Heather Westwell, with sound and music by Fred Riding. New Old Friends gratefully acknowledge the support of Arts Council England in making Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears.